Well, Father, thank you. Thank you that your word does say that we overcome evil with good. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, that you went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. So, Lord, thank you that through doing good and through love, we can undo the works of the enemy. We thank you for that privilege, that prerogative. Amen. Well, I want to start a new series this morning. It's on presence and power. And I believe that those are two key words for us as believers. And I believe that they're also two key words for us as a church. So I'm not sure how long this series will go. But we're going to start by talking about presence, and then we will move to talking about power because they are related. So when we're talking about presence, what do we mean? Well, let's start with Psalm 139, verse 7 and 8 says, "Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there." In one sense, the presence of God is everywhere. And we can't escape from the presence of God. Who remembers the story of Jonah? Jonah went down to Joppa to get on a boat. He thought that if he went to Tarshish, he would escape the presence of God. Dumb thought. There's nowhere that we can go that God isn't. Now, many times we lose sight of the presence of God, especially if we're going through a difficult time, something that is hurtful, painful, whatever. Sometimes we lose sight of the presence of God, but we are never outside of the presence of God. And there is a difference. So let's look at our second scripture. This is Exodus 33, 14. This is the Lord speaking, and he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Now, obviously, the Lord is speaking about a level of presence that goes just beyond the fact that he is everywhere. Speaking to Moses, he's saying, "Moses, my presence will go with you. And I will give you rest." One of the characteristics about being in the presence or being aware of the presence is the rest or the peace that it brings. There's that ceasing of striving. There's that awareness that, wow, God's here. And I believe that's what we're meant to live from, is that sense that we have the presence of God with us, not just because he's everywhere, but because he's with us. And when we look at the verse before, verse 14, look at verse 13, this is where Moses prays, and he says, "Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way that I may know you, that I might find grace in your sight." He knew he had grace in God's sight, but he wanted more grace in God's sight. The whole aspect of presence is connected in with grace. And that's why the Lord responded, because he wanted to know the Lord and he wanted to grow in the area of grace. And he says, "My presence. When you have my presence, you will grow in grace." first couple of points regarding the presence of God. Number one, we live in his presence. So nothing you can go through that is outside of God's presence, outside of his awareness, outside of his sight, outside of his hearing. He is a very present help, whether we are aware of that presence or not. See, we've got lots of unsaved people wandering around on this planet, not even knowing that they live in the presence of God. That's the first level. But the second level is that we can become aware of his presence. See, right now, I want you just to close your eyes and become aware of the presence of God. What does that feel like? What are you sensing? Anybody want to give me some feedback? What are you sensing? What are you aware of? Peace. Okay, who else has become aware of peace? Quite a few of you. That's a very common one. Anybody else? What were you sensing when you just stopped and became aware of his presence? Company? Warmth? Joy, yeah, I could see you smiling. Up the front here, just looking across, I could see some of you were just enjoying that sense of presence. Yes. So you could become aware of his presence actually in the room. Anybody feel like they could actually locate where God was? Like awareness of a presence, like you could say, there. Yes, okay. Yes, a few of you have got your hands up. That is simply you becoming aware of presence. And that's what we're meant to live like. Yes? Yes. So anybody else actually see something? Some of you felt warmth. Anybody actually see something? Like Cheryl saw a picture of like a beach and waves coming in on the sand. Anybody else see a picture? Okay, nobody else saying yes to that one. I quite often see pictures. So you saw a picture? Right. Yes. Become aware of how you pick up the presence of God. For some of us, it's just a sensation, an awareness. For others, we'll actually see something. Some people hear something. You can train yourself to become aware of how you respond to the presence. There's some people, when they get in the presence of God, they'll start to shake or jerk or laugh or whatever. That is their response to the presence of God. And we can learn how we respond to presence. So that's the second thing. The third thing is that we are called to carry his presence. Now, this is taking that a step further to not just being aware of presence, but being aware that we carry presence. A person that gives us an example of that in the New Testament is Stephen, Acts 6, verse 15. And all who sat in the council looked steadfastly at him, saw his face as the face of an angel. What were they seeing? They were seeing on Stephen the presence of God. And the only way that they could explain that was to say, he looks like an angel. There was something that they saw on him. And when you see presence manifested like that, we usually use the word glory. That's why in Isaiah 60 it says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord will be seen upon you. Whether you are aware of it or not, you carry presence. And there are times when you will walk into a place and there will be a reaction because you carry presence. And those that have learned to carry presence well have created incredible impact throughout history. You even think of people like Brother Lawrence. He was a monk, yet people would come and they would sit and just watch this man peel vegetables. Why? Because he carried a presence. You've got revivalists that would come into a town and people would drop to their knees and get saved right where they were. You've had revivalists that have walked into a factory and the factory has stopped. They haven't even needed to say a word. They have simply carried presence. Heidi Baker, who's heard of Heidi Baker? Okay. At a conference, staying the night in the hotel, the morning got up, got dressed, went down to have breakfast, walked into the restaurant where everyone was having breakfast, got herself some cereal and went and sat down at a table. The two men at the table next to her started calling out, "What do we have to do to get saved?" She never looked at them. She never said anything. She was simply carrying presence. One person who did that really well was Catherine Coleman. She was known for the presence. In fact, if you read commentaries about her life, you will hear where people say she was hopeless at preaching. Didn't really sing very well. She didn't look marvelous. She was just very average woman who was on the platform. But instantly something would change and she would say, "He's here." And the whole atmosphere changed. Why? Because she carried presence. That is the privilege of each and every one of us, to carry his presence. What belongs to them belongs to us. We simply need to grow in our ability to carry that presence. And I believe in our awareness of that presence. Because once you become aware of what you carry, then you can release what you carry. See, number four, we can release his presence. And I believe God is looking for his people to know what it is to walk into an area and release his presence. Because when we do, we change atmospheres. We release something incredibly powerful, not because of who we are, but because of what we carry and because of what we release. Let me give you an example of that again in the book of Acts, Acts 5, starting with verse 14. "And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. You know, not even Jesus healed with his shadow. Jesus said, greater works will you do. This whole city, Acts 5 is about 5 years after Pentecost. Acts 10 is about 10 years after Pentecost. Handy thing to gain a little bit of perspective on the book of Acts. The day of Pentecost, 3,000 people got saved. So I don't want your mind to think that we're just thinking of some little village here. We already had 3,000 people saved on the day of Pentecost. Now here we have 5 years later, and it's talking about a multitude being gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem. And they are all healed. And it says that they laid these people in the street so that when Peter walked by, his shadow touched these people. I love the way that Bill Johnson puts it. He says that what overshadows you will overshadow others. Peter lived from the presence. He carried the presence, and he was able to release that presence onto others, and they were healed. They didn't have to touch Peter. They didn't have to have words released. Nobody was praying for them. All that they needed was to be close to a man of God that was carrying and releasing presence. And I believe that God wants his church to walk in that again. Because he says that the glory of the latter house will be greater than the former house. What does that mean? That means that when we read Acts and go, oh, wow, we are meant to say, God, you're going to do even more in the days that we live in. Can you imagine walking down Queen Street and Queen Street being lined with people? For one reason only, it's because you're going to walk past and your presence that you release will heal them. Imagine walking through a mall and everybody you walk past is instantly healed or set free. That's what we are called to walk in. But how? Well, I believe that we need to learn how to host the presence. We're not going to be able to release what we haven't learned to host. And I believe the call on us as believers is to host presence. But I believe also that there is a call on this church to host presence. It's one of the things that we go after. So I want to speak this morning about two keys to hosting the presence. And the second one, I'll carry on and talk about next week. But let's look at two keys briefly this morning. First one is found in John 14, verse 21 to 23. Jesus speaking, "He who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." One of the keys to hosting the presence is obedience. It's a key that can easily be overlooked or downplayed. The sad thing with the revelation of grace that has been released to the body of Christ is the misinterpretation of grace to mean that we can do anything we want. No, grace empowers us to do what he wants. That is the power of grace. Mercy is there for us when we fail. God's mercy is new every morning. He's made sure that there is an abundant supply of mercy for us. And some of us know that we need that mercy. But we cannot get around the fact that if we want to host the presence, there is always the aspect of obedience. Or another way to phrase that is surrender. Obedience always flows out of surrender. Catherine Kuhlman, who I spoke of earlier, this woman renowned for the presence of God, also spoke often of the life of surrender that it took to live in that place. And if we think that we can carry the presence of God and just live for ourselves and do our own thing, we are fooling ourselves. Yes, I know. It's not exactly an area that makes us excited, but it's an area that we need to be aware of. Jesus said that we will come and make our home with him. How awesome is that? Jesus doesn't want to just visit. He wants his home. Place where he lives and abides and dwells, and his address to be you. But it doesn't come cheap. It comes through a lifestyle of surrender. Let me throw in this verse for you, Acts 13:21. This is Father God talking back about David. "And he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart." And we usually stop there. "A man after my own heart who will do all my will." Now, if you know your Bible, you'll know that David messed up big time. This is written after David messed up. There's hope for all of us, even when we make a mess. but I want you to capture, even in here, a huge key to living in obedience. I have found David, a son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. That word after just doesn't mean, well, he's like me. He has the same sort of heart as me. No, I have found David who has a passion for my heart. He wants to know me. And out of that love, out of that pursuit of God, comes the strength to be a man who will do his will. It's only when we fail to put God first that we end up in sin. Let's even go back to the John 14. If anyone loves me, he will keep my commandments. If you're struggling to obey God, it's a love issue. And how do we love him? By being aware of how much he loves us. Because we love him because he first loved us. Key number one is obedience. Key number two is worship. John 14 verse 23, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. We're not just seeking God, God is seeking us. That word for worship, if you go and you have a look in the Old Testament at the words for worship, you've got many different words for worship. One of the main ones means to bow down. The New Testament word for worship means to kiss towards. God is looking for kisses. To kiss towards, yes, is an act of reverence, but it is also a revealing of the heart. God is looking for those whose affection of the heart is towards him. They're the lovers that God wants to hang out with. Again, Bill Johnson, in talking about Catherine Coleman, speaking about what she was not, said she only had one thing in her favour, and that was that God wanted to hang out with her. Does God want to hang out with you? Now, I want you to notice that God is seeking worshippers, not singers or musicians. See, many times we think that worship is a slow song. We come to church and we have praise and worship. Praise is the bouncy one, worship is the slow one. If I'm in the worship God, I sing a slow song. Anybody got a little bit of that kind of mentality? Okay, if I'm going to get up in the morning and worship God, that means I'm going to have to sing a song. Dear Lord, help me. Or maybe I'll put somebody else on and let them sing a song and I'll listen and I'll go, I'm worshiping. As I've already said, that word worship means to kiss towards. I want everybody here just to close their eyes again. And becoming aware of the Lord, I want you to become aware of your heart reaching towards Him. Right now, you are worshiping. If we kept going, some of you would want to do something. You'd want to stand up and raise your hands, or maybe even kneel down, or just start speaking some words. Why? Because your heart is worshiping. And your heart wants to express that even more. Who's aware of the fact that they would actually kind of quite like to do something? Why? Because we're made to worship. Don't even limit it to a song. Yes, music is powerful because it opens our heart. And that's why we use it corporately. It opens your heart so that worship flows easier from your heart. You can tell if a person is praising, because praise involves words or activity. You have to do praise, if I can put it that way. But worship, you can be so lost in worship that you're not doing a thing. The second key to hosting the presence is worship. Simply love on Him. See, I don't know about you, but I can feel a presence in this room that has increased. Anybody else aware that the presence in the room has increased? Yeah, I'm seeing different hands go up. Why? Because we're worshipping. Where there is worship, there will be presence. Thank you, Papa. Thank you, Papa. In fact, let's just have everybody stand, because I'm going to invite you to worship even more. Give expression to what's in your heart. You may need to start speaking words. You may need to start moving. You may even think, I don't want to stand up, I want to kneel down. But let's just start increasing that worship. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Mama ye ya tot ya shikira no ma. Oh ye ya tana na 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 ma. Ko shiki kaida na na ma. Mama ye ya ya tana na ria shiki. Ye ya tana na na ma. Mama ye ya ya tana na na ma. As you become aware of that presence even more, I want you to become aware of the presence not just around you, but the presence on you. there is a presence on you. And we're just going to enjoy that for a few minutes more, and then we're going to ask the Holy Spirit how we release the presence for somebody else in the room. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I love you, Lord. Let your heart find its voice. You may even want to draw something, speak something. Thank you. Mama ye 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 to dia shikika. Mama ye ye ta dia na 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 ma. Mama ye 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 ta. Mama ye ye ta na 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 ma. If you're aware of presence on you, I want you to raise your hand for me. If you're saying, I can't feel a thing, I'm not aware of anything, I'd love to pray for you. In fact, I would love for the people who are sensing presence on them to release that presence onto others. So if you are feeling like, I'm not feeling anything, and there's no shame in that, but I want you to raise your hand. Just say, I'm not feeling anything. Okay? If you've got your hands up to worship, I'm going to ask that you just put your hands down. So only those who are not feeling anything, I want you to have your hands up. Okay? Let's move and start imparting presence onto somebody else. Or if you're just saying, hey, I want a bit more. Yeah, I can sort of feel it, but I want more. If you want more this morning, put your hand up. Now my prayers have become changed. Okay. Let's move and start praying for people. We've got two guys here. Let's pray for them. Let's have take offer. Let's pray for her. Let's move on that lot first. You've got a target. David, offer. Just impart presence to them. Thank you, Father. If you don't know what to pray, just say more. If you're being prayed for, just receive. You meant to be giving it away, Lucy. If some of you are saying, oh, I want some of that, let's have three more people that we can pray for. Let's have three more people with their hand up who want prayer. Cheryl's, I think, just praying. So we've got this precious lady here. Let's pray for her. Okay, who else wants prayer? Who else wants just more? Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Okay, what are people feeling? What are you sensing? Lucy, what's happening for you?
I've been drawn back by the fork and the power of God. Like, you know, it's pulling me back. And making me laugh.
There is a tree behind you as well.
Anybody else want to share? Okay, so Cheryl's feeling a weight. She's feeling like a substance between her hands. Okay. Yes, Cheryl's very demonstrative when it comes to things in the realm of the spirit. Yeah. So some people are like that. Some people are quieter. What else are people sensing, feeling? This is a training church. This is not a teaching church. This is a training church.
Okay, a lightness. I feel a lightness and a floating feeling.
Okay, good. Yes.
I feel something on my hand. It's like something in there.
Okay, then go find somebody to pray for. Go put your hands on somebody. Who wants prayer from Lucy? Somebody put their hand up. Okay, Michelle, yeah, just impart it. See, you are actually carrying a presence. Now impart that. Just see it leaving you and going on to Tombale.
More presence, Lord. More presence, Lord. More love, Lord.
Anybody else want to share? What are you feeling? Awesome. Electricity. That's what David felt. Was that when people were imparting presence to you? Awesome. Anybody else want to share? I'm not sure where the offers come back here. Yes.
I felt a lightness going through, you know, just things lifting and lightness. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
That's what the atmosphere of heaven is like. It's very light. Glory is the atmosphere of heaven, just like air is the atmosphere on this earth. Anybody else want to share?
I'm feeling with David. Now, I don't know what David's feeling, but for me, it's the breath. I feel that I need to blow out the breath of the Holy Spirit, the creative breath. So I don't know at what level that it's affecting David. I just know that that's something the Holy Spirit is saying to me for him.
Great. Go for it. Good. That's even better. See, sometimes we can feel to do something because sometimes the release happens when we actually do something. And we become aware of the release. And at the point, at the moment we're talking presence, we will start talking about power. But first of all, we need to learn how to steward presence. Okay? Offers just enjoying it. And often you will find that in the presence, you're just there and it's this incredible environment, atmosphere, where it's like, wow, and you can be there for hours and not be aware of time or anything. I think it was Amy Semple McPherson. Yes, I think it was Amy. She was preaching and halfway through a sentence, she just froze in the presence of God. And she stayed like that for three whole days, like a statue. Nothing moved. In fact, they had lines of people go past to have a look at her. And she was just frozen in position for 3 days. Okay? Didn't eat, didn't sleep, didn't go to the bathroom. For 3 days. And then at the end of 3 days, she just came back and finished her sentence. She was totally caught up in the presence of God. Book of Revelation, John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I looked and I saw. When we start to know what it is to live in presence, another way of saying that is being in the Spirit, to live aware of presence, revelation starts to flow. We become aware of our environment. We become aware of what is happening in the spirit realm. We are first and foremost spirits who live in a body. When your body has had enough, it will fall down. And your spirit will still be standing. And you'll go, oh, whoops. Guess I don't need you for a while. You are a spirit. You will live forever. And you can become totally aware of the spirit realm around you. We're going to have an exciting journey in this series. It will be a practical series as well, because there's a difference between teaching and training. So next week, come along, we'll talk about presence again. But Ray gave you some homework during the week and he didn't have a clue what I was preaching on today. A lot of what has come out simply comes back to being aware of presence. Wherever you are, you can turn your heart in a second to the presence of God. Brother Lawrence called it practicing the presence of God. And it doesn't matter where you are or what you do. Just turn your heart. It's just that simple flip from being flesh aware to being a spirit aware. So Father, thank you. Thank you that you want to train us over this next little while to become carriers of your presence. Father, what an awesome privilege that is. We thank you for it. Thank you. thank you. Thank you that the Spirit of glory rests on us. Let me throw this in for finishing, and I'll probably pick it up again and go into it in more detail. But it's 1 Peter 4, verse 14. You may want to write that reference down. Because there is a reaction to the presence. I touched on that briefly before. But 1 Peter chapter 4 talks about the fact of not being surprised when there is reaction against you. And verse 14 talks about being reproached for the name of Christ. And it says, on their part, he is blasphemed. But on your part, the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. That is who you are. Remember me talking about Stephen, and that the council looked at Stephen and they said, he looks like an angel. That was the glory. That was the presence of God on Stephen. But those very men who saw it attacked him, and he became the first martyr. I'm not saying that to frighten you. We are blessed. We don't get thrown to the lions for believing in Jesus. But if you want to carry the presence, recognize that you are carrying a glory, and not everybody wants the glory. And we will talk about that more next week. So thank you, Papa. Thank you. Keep us aware of you. Help us, Holy Spirit, to turn our affection and to simply kiss towards you. That we might be worshippers, that we might be your home here on earth. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.